Evan and Tiki on a football Friday. One thing that we found out late last night, or I guess it was early last night, is that the NFL is going to move the Ram-Viking game out of Los Angeles. I mean, L.A. is getting hit with these wildfires like crazy, and our prayers with everybody over there. So they're moving the game to Glendale, Arizona. And when I saw that news come out, my first reaction was, who's going to go to the game? Like, if you're living in Glendale, Arizona, right, you're an Arizona Cardinal fan, are you running to go watch the Rams against the Vikings? Yeah, that was my first thought. And then,
it's
Brian...
It's football, though. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, let me ask you this, then.
And it's a good team, so it's not like you're watching a terrible team. These are two good teams. They're in the playoffs.
Let's say they move the Eagles-Packers game to MetLife Stadium for whatever reason. There was some issue in the city of Philadelphia. Mm. Like, we realized it's just a terrible city. So let's move the game to MetLife. And it was decent weather, because I know weather is an easy answer here. It's 55 degrees on a Sunday afternoon. Are we packing MetLife Stadium to watch two teams that are not around?
I think it's a bad example because it's too close. Philly, they're going to travel. Half of them are South Jersey anyway. So say it's the Commanders Buccaneers game.
That's a bunch. You're right. And look, you could still drive from D.C., but I get it. It's a little different than Philadelphia.
Right, but it's 4 hours, right? It's 3.5, whatever it is, hours, as opposed to, 50 minutes or whatever it is to get to MetLife from North South Jersey.
You know what?
Jersey.
I want to give you an even better example. The Chargers against the Texans got moved because now we're talking about getting on a plane. And the reality is, if you're in L.A., you're getting on a plane to go to Glendale, Arizona. You're not driving there. That's a very, very long drive.
Right.
So if the Chargers and Texans were playing a game at MetLife Stadium and it was a nice day, okay, so we got to make the weather fair.
Okay.
Are we filling MetLife Stadium?
It depends. It depends. Like Jim Harbaugh is interesting, so I think people might be drawn to it if you have nothing better to do. And it's a playoff game, so you're watching big-time football. But I doubt it, to be honest with you.
I think we would.
I don't know, man.
You think so?
Here's what I think would happen.
I don't think so.
Here's what you won't have passionate. I think that there are enough people in this area that for what you're assuming is a decent enough cost, I could finally bring my family of four to a football game. Let's go watch some NFL football. Let's tailgate for a little bit. Let's do the experience we typically can't afford during the regular season, because there's no way you're reselling these tickets for $200 a pop in this area. No way.
Right. Yeah, you are right that it probably becomes a more affordable ticket. So the information about this game being released by the NFL is that Cardinals and Rams season ticket holders were given the first priority. And the reason why it would be the Rams is because they're the home team. So you're not giving that priority to the Viking fans. You still want to kind of make it like there's home field advantage. And obviously the Arizona Cardinals are hosting the game, and you do want people in the building. So they gave Ram fans and Cardinal fans access to purchase tickets. And in a two-hour window, they sold 52,000 tickets.
What's the capacity of that stadium? Is it 70-something or 80?
I would say in the 70s, which means I think they're going to sell out. Because if you sold 52,000 tickets in 2 hours just to the collection of season ticket holders,
63,400.
Right. So what happens to those Viking fans that were traveling to L.A. and they already bought tickets? That's the question that I have.
So I think that anyone who has tickets probably just gets reimbursed, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, you just get your money back. And now those Viking fans are a part of the window because it's general public now.
I hear you, but if you were already committed to going out to California, to L.A., shouldn't you have, like, first dibs? Like, you already bought, as a Viking fan, you were traveling to L.A., you already bought your tickets to the game. Shouldn't you have first dibs?
You should.
My assumption is if you bought it secondary market, you're just kind of at the mercy of playing the reimbursement game. If you bought it firsthand, I got to imagine any firsthand single tickets that were already sold, included in this option.
Right. You called up, the LA, and you called and bought them directly from the NFL. I guarantee they'd get taken care of.
Now, did you see the other part of the seven from Sheffield?
What's that?
What the Cardinals are doing?
What's up?
The Cardinals are sending two of the Arizona Cardinals team's 777 planes to L.A. this afternoon. They are picking up the Rams team, the Rams staff, the Rams families, six dogs and two cats. This is according to Adam Schefter. Yes, six dogs and two cats. And bringing them to Arizona tonight The Cardinals are also turning over their training facility to the Rams for use in advance of the Monday night game. The Cardinals, as a division rival, are flying animals, families, and everything on their own dime to help out the Rams.
Well, that's great, though.
I would like to think that as much as we may not like the Eagles or like the Patriots or like the Bills, that if there was this horrific natural disaster in that area, that we would do the same thing.
Yeah.
I would like to think that. That we would take our petty differences
and
put it aside, wouldn't we?
It's a game. I mean,
it's a game.
Ultimately, we're talking about people's lives.
Yes.
Now, I don't think any of the players, I haven't heard about any of the players being affected by any of this, but, I mean, they could be, right? Or, you know, the families of some of the executives or the staff, they could be affected by this. So
Of course.
I think ultimately that trumps rivalry. I think that trumps, you know, the pettiness of the game that we're playing.
We would gladly, probably not with a plane, but maybe on an Amtrak or on a bus, we would help out our friends down in Philadelphia. You know, we would take all the dogs and the cats and the Eagle players and everybody, and we would ship them up to New York. Of the 52,000 tickets that were sold to the season ticket holders of the Rams and the Cardinals, I am curious how many of those were Ram ticket holders and how many were Cardinal ticket holders. I don't know if they'll ever reveal that split.
Right.
And maybe we'll get a better idea based on the crowd sounds. But honestly, it's not like the Rams have this super huge fan base anyway. So even if the game was played in L.A., there would still be a lot of Viking fans there.
You probably get the same split because of the Rams being the Rams. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not a super home field advantage kind of team.
Right. Not as bad as the Chargers. The Chargers have been worse.
Chargers are worse, yeah.
Right. Their home games are basically away games.
Right. And I think a part of that is the Chargers are San Diego's team. And I think a lot of San Diego fans are not just driving up to L.A. And the Rams have a history in L.A.
Right.
It's not like it just went to a random city. Like, there are people who may have grown up or grew up as young L.A. Ram fans before they left to go to St. Louis.
You know, Evan, on that note, the Road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365, which does have me ask you. So if you were leaning one way or another on this game, does moving the game, knowing it's going from L.A. to Arizona, change your mind at all?
Not really. The only thing that I think could matter, and Tiki kind of hit on it, is that the wildfires are a real life thing. And if you live in Los Angeles and you train in Los Angeles and you're worried about your house and you're worried about your loved ones, you're a human. You're not a freaking robot. So I can understand how that would affect you and maybe take your eye off of, you know, the work that you have. Right. So I guess I could see that mattering. But in terms of like home field advantage, it's a different stadium, crowd sounds, I think it's minimal at best.
Right. Yeah. Hasn't that been debunked too, that the home field advantage is a real thing?
Yeah, unfortunately, this is where I'm going to take a yell. It really only comes down to if you're used to cold weather and wind and all that other stuff.
Right. What have I said?
I still disagree with you. By the way, the Road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Before we get to your calls, I was thinking about the five games this weekend, and obviously this Viking-Ram game is Monday. We'll spend more time on that game on Monday and make our pick on Monday, but I was thinking about these five games, and I'm still isolated at home, so this is going to be even better because I get to fully watch it without having to DVR it, which I would normally do. Which of these games am I most pumped up for? And obviously, I have major rooting interest in a lot of these games just as a fan. Like, I would love to see the Denver Broncos upset the Bills. Of all the games this weekend, and you told me, like, the football gods came to me. Vince Lombardi came to me in my dreams and said, Evan, I'm going to give you one upset. Okay? One upset. Johnny Unitas came to me in my football dreams and said, I'm going to give you one upset. Sid Luckman came to me in my football dreams and said, I'm going to keep going with NFL legends till you stop me. Charlie Cotterley comes to me in my football dreams and says, Sammy Bowell comes to me and says, I'm going to give you one upset. I would want to see the Denver Broncos knock off the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh.
That's just me.
You want good news, Evan?
Yeah, go ahead.
Underdogs are 69-105 all-time on Wild Card Weekend. That's an average of 1.5 upsets per season, and at least one underdog has won a game on Wild Card round in 40 of the last 46 seasons dating back to 1978.
Now, is the underdog based on spread or seed?
Spread.
Okay.
Right.
To me,
because the seed is different. I mean, it kind of depends on division.
Of course.
Right, because there's at least two greater records traveling to a division winner.
Yeah, the Vikings-Rams game and the Chargers-Texans.
Yes.
Well, and also the Commanders. The Commanders have won more games than Tampa Bay.
The Commanders.
Now, the Commanders are dogs, though. They're not favorites in the game, but they did win more games. And look, upset
is... Are they dudes, too?
They're dudes and they're dogs and they're Commanders. They're all of them. But to me, like, the Chargers losing to the Texans is not that big of an upset. You know what I mean? The Commanders beating the Buccaneers is not that big of an upset. The big upsets this weekend, to me, would be the Steelers beating the Ravens, I think would be a big upset. Denver beating Buffalo is the biggest upset.
Didn't they beat them earlier in the season?
They did, but it's like a different world now.
No, it's true. They lost four in a row. The Baltimore Ravens have won four in a row.
The Steelers are trending in the wrong direction.
Right.
And also, and I think you take this into account, even if you don't think we should, the Steelers have been wretched in the postseason the last five times.
Yeah, it's true.
They have, but Lamar's career, that's been the one team he struggled against a ton, has been the Steelers.
No, I get you.
And no Zay Flowers in that game either.
Right. The one upset I would sign for is Buffalo-Denver, but the game I think I'm most excited for, because I think it's going to be a close game and I'm not confident on what the result is going to be, is actually Tampa Bay-Washington.
Yeah, the Commanders.
That's the one that jumps off to me, too.
You agree? Like, that power ranking games, like, that to me is number one in terms of, I just don't have a good feeling on how it's going to go.
Yeah, I mean, I like both quarterbacks. I like how both quarterbacks play. Baker has been, he's been exactly what Tampa Bay needed. But Jaden Daniels is obviously the rookie of the year, he's going to be the rookie of the year, at least we think he's going to be. And he's had a fantastic rookie season, and they got a good team. And yeah. So that's the one I can't put my finger on, what I think is going to happen. Like, all the other ones, I think the Chargers are winning. I think Baltimore's winning. I think Buffalo is winning. I think Philly's winning. I don't know about Tampa and Washington, and I think the Minnesota Vikings are winning. You're right. That's the one that has a lot of intrigue around it.
And that's how I usually view, like, what am I most excited for?
Right.
Because, like, again, if you told me the Denver Broncos early Sunday are going to shock the world and beat the Buffalo Bills, then I'd be most intrigued by that. I just don't think it's going to happen. Like, I'd be very surprised if it happened. I'd be thrilled if it happened. Mm-hmm. I don't expect it. But I think Tampa, Washington, and the other one that also I feel like, maybe I don't know, is Philly, Green Bay, especially because of the Jalen Hurts situation.
Well,
now
he's cleared.
Has he been officially cleared? They're
officially cleared to practice full cleared. Today.
And you could see it coming. I mean, it's been 2.5 weeks, right? Or two.
But isn't it so that Jalen Hurts takes one hit in this game, and he ends up going into that tent? It's just, you don't know.
Yeah, but you know what you do know?
That, what?
And again, they were playing the Giants, but Tanner McKee looked amazing. I'm just telling you, the kid has a cannon for an arm. He makes good decisions. I went back and watched his preseason tape because obviously he was playing in the game that we called at the end of the season, and nobody had seen him play other than the four passes he threw the week before. And so the kid is good. They threw for 270-something yards, which is more than they threw all season long. So he's a better pocket quarterback than Jalen Hurts. But Jalen Hurts has that intangible because he moves and he opens up their run game so much with Saquon Barkley. So it's a completely different style. So I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the league, by the way, Tanner McKee. But I don't know if it fits the game plan that they've been running with all season long.
Now, I don't care about Tampa because what could really happen other than rain, but Sean is the official weather expert of the Evan and Tiki program. Do we have any snow in the forecast for Buffalo, Philadelphia, or Baltimore? Or is it just going to be your typical, you know, it's winter and it's cold?
Winter, it's cold. In fact, in Buffalo for Sunday, they're calling for a balmy 30 degrees.
Mm. Well, that's a disappointment.
Well, it's just the wind. The wind is what matters. Because at 30, if it's windy, it's freezing. But if it's not windy, it's not that freezing.
Have you been dealing with wind in New Jersey? Because last night...
It hasn't been as bad. It's been worse here.
I woke up to a windstorm. Like, I woke up to, like, things on my deck being just thrown everywhere because it was so windy last night.
Two nights ago, we had that in New Jersey, and it was cold. But today, it was fine.
Crazy. And I don't know why I have this fear of wind knocking a tree down and killing me. I don't know why. That's, like, one of my fears. What? I'm being honest with you. I'm very...
transparent.
Nah, it's not true. Vulnerable. I'm very vulnerable right now because I'm isolated and I'm sick and the only people I talk to are you now when I do a radio show. And so I'm telling you my innermost thoughts.
So wait, how does your wife, what does she do? She call you? She FaceTime you?
We text and occasionally
talk to the door?
Pretty much, yes.
They slide food underneath the door.
I know. Jeez, what's going on here?
Well, you know, I got two kids. I got two older in-laws living with me. She wants to keep everybody safe. So I'm isolated like I'm the hunchback of Notre Dame.
Quasimodo.
And because of that, I'm very vulnerable.
But, Evan,
and
we're the
when
only...
it was windy last night, all I could think about was a tree coming down and killing me. Mm. I don't know why. That'd be such a bad
that
way to
so
go.
So random.
So
random.
Evan, I do have to ask, since that thought has crossed your mind, let's say a tree is on the verge of coming down. You could see it coming down, and you have a choice. Both of these things are in the exact same spot. I could save one of these things, or the other one is lost forever based on this tree falling.
Go ahead.
Are you saving your very older dog or your scorebook?
Are you freaking kidding me?
Are those not the two things you love the most?
Would you like a third option?
Are you? How could you ask such a question?
We could have went Jets.
Look at him delaying.
I'm not delaying. I'm saving Dudley. Are you very old dog? First of all, the age of my dog is irrelevant.
It's irrelevant to you, but it's relevant to the audience. Because, of course, it's, you know, a two-year-old dog, no doubt. You know, your dog is, like it or not, a little older, and your scorebook is the thing you've told. You've written books about it. You cherish it.
But I've already written the book. So
what if I told you, and that's the last Bob Carpenter ever printed, and you can never get one again?
Mm. Well, you like to add some weird, crazy questions. I will tell you that I have begun the process, and I'm not done with it yet, so I guess it doesn't serve a purpose, but I have begun the process of taking pictures of every game I've ever scored so that
I'm a loser.
If my scorebooks ever go away, whether it's a tree falling on it, whether it's a fire, whatever the reason is, I'd be like, okay, I have it digitally. Because everything in this day and age should be backed up digitally.
I agree. All right, so you're picking the dog.
Of course I'm picking the dog.
So he's announcing...
And I'm picking my kids. I mean, come on.
No, of course. So are you announcing your retirement from scoring games? Is that what you're doing here? Because
no!
You picked your dog over scoring
games.
I'm
saying that I'm not a sick human being. I still put the lives of my dog and my sons above my scorebook.
So last one for you.
Kind of monster do you think?
The tree is coming. You've said, screw the scorebook. I got to make one call. The dog or Abuelo?
Boy, you can't ask questions like that.
Why not? Sometimes you got to ask tough questions, get tough answers.
Okay, a tree is falling down and you've got to decide between your daughter and your wife. Like, what kind of question is that? I would never ask you something like that.
You don't want Sean to answer that. Sean, I saw the head tilt. Just don't even bother answering that.
Sean, don't answer the question. I didn't ask it for you to answer. I'm saying that there are certain questions that are just so bleeped up, you don't ask it.
Just a reminder, though, you brought the topic up, though, about the tree falling on you.
I brought the topic
of... So you opened up Pandora's box.
But, Luke, I brought the topic of me dying, not me saving things, just the tree falls and I'm dead. That's what I brought up.
Let me ask you this. What would have been the last thing you did last night before this? What was the final thing Evan Roberts did before he went to sleep? I know you're in isolation. I assume you were just watching something on YouTube, perhaps. Well, YouTube, I said.
Dude, I stayed up late watching sports. I watched the Islanders out in Vegas. I watched the Ranger Devil game. I watched the college football game. And then I would have some YouTube on.
Huh.
I got to tell you know what I'm obsessed with?
Ordering wrist guards off Amazon?
No, you guys aren't going to guess. No, it's video. Like videos on YouTube of a subject. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I give you, it has nothing to do with sports. That'll be my one hint.
Political presidential interactions.
Good guess. Has nothing to do with politics. It's about TV. I'm a big sitcom guy. Big TV show watching guy. It's about one particular show. Very close. I did watch a video on Friends last night.
Oh, I thought, about it how, a, thought it was a Jennifer Aniston thing.
Why? Because the rumors of her and Barack?
Yes.
Why is no one talking about that? That's been out there
because
for a while.
It's been out there for like 3 months already.
Yeah, that's not new news. There was a report from like one of the tabloids that Barack was having a thing with Jennifer Aniston.
I just heard about this yesterday, Evan, so I'm in the camp of just hearing about it. Maybe our audience doesn't know about it either. Now they do.
Well, what happened was Michelle wasn't at the funeral. And so naturally, it's like, well, why wasn't she at the funeral? And I think the official statement was she had an extended vacation in Hawaii, okay? So that, of course, leads to, is everything okay between her and Barack? Mm-hmm. Months ago, there was a report about Barack Obama, and Jennifer Aniston having some kind of relationship. And everybody denied it. Doesn't mean it's not true, but it was denied. And so I think Michelle not being at the Carter funeral has rekindled the rumors about President Obama and Jennifer Aniston.
Let's just say the rumors are true. If Michelle caught Aniston and Obama, could Barack go, "We were on a break"? Does he have that out or no?
No.
One of my favorite scenes in TV was that. But it wasn't Friends. I was obsessed with Boy Meets World.
Is this because you saw Topanga on Raw on Monday?
I probably had some. You know what it was? It wasn't just Topanga on Raw. It was Topanga and Eric Matthews on Raw. And the fact that they have a podcast called Pod Meets World. And I started to become obsessed with just everything about Boy Meets World. So, yeah, last night I was watching just tons of YouTube videos about the history of the show, how it was created, the actors.
Boy Meets
all
World?
All sorts of crap, yeah.
That's a random.
Did you ever watch Boy Meets? Did
no,
you ever watch
I never
it?
Did. Never did. I have no idea what it's about.
I think you're too old for it because it was TGIF, came out in like 1993. So how old were you in 93, Teague?
I just graduated high school.
Yeah, you're done. You're done at that point. That's a middle school, elementary school, maybe high school kind of show. I was 10 years old, right. So it was right up my alley. Loogie and Sean, same thing. That was a TGIF go-to.
Yeah, for sure. I thought it was a little overrated, but fine.
Really? Not a Boy Meets World guy?
You know, there's two problems with Boy Meets World. Number one, just my personal attraction. I don't get the Topanga's a love interest thing. Not my cup of tea. Not somebody I'd approach at the bar. That's number one. Number two.
Well, she was 12.
Well, okay, but I'm 12. You have to put yourself in that
maybe
mindset.
Maybe not at the bar, but at the blocks in school.
Yeah, at the block party. You're not going up to it for the water balloon toss, all right? At that age, Tiki. We correlate. But and by the way, they got to college, you know, even then. I still wasn't into her. Also, the idea, I mean, once you keep moving schools and Mr. Feeney keeps moving the schools he's working in and he lives next to you, it's too much. It's too much of a stretch at that point.
Right. Jumping the shark, that's what that's called.
Too much. He shows up at college. I'm going to tell you, your teacher's following you everywhere. Can I get a break from a guy?
That's a good point. No, you are right. Like, I think the problem with some shows is that when you have a successful model and it's young kids, how do they grow up and what do? Because they grow up and they move past things. It's like, I love 90210. I've told you that. But it is a weird kind of juxtaposition to assume that they all went to the same college, which is what they did. And it's like, well, that's not real. They're all the friends from the same friends group are going to the same college?
Did that happen in Saved by the Bell too? Or no? I forgot.
So, yes and no to answer your question. They did Saved by the Bell the college years, and a few of the actors didn't continue on the show. So it was easier to say, oh, they went somewhere else. So it was A.C. Slater, Screech, and Zach Morris all went to the same college. Which, again, if you followed them in high school, that doesn't make sense either.
Of course not.
Screech is way smarter than AC and Zach. How are they in the same school? So I think that's the problem you have when you got these younger, stories. Because what do you do when the show's successful and then they graduate from wherever they're at?
And this is why The Simpsons and South Park could be around forever, because they never grow up. They never age.
It's
so
true.
You could have a long-running show like that.
And a show like Friends. Like, it's easy to keep everybody in the same friends group because they're in their 20s and 30s. Life can change, like How I Met Your Mother. Life can change, but it's not crazy because they're not graduating and coincidentally all going to the same school. Anyhow, let's get to some of your calls. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jay, who's calling from Hoboken, New Jersey. How are you today, Jay?
Hey, guys. How's it going? I'm going to be quick. I do agree with a lot of what you're saying, all these playoff takes. And yeah, that Tampa-Washington game is probably the best one right now. Go either way.
Yep.
All right. Tiki, this is really just for you. I want your opinion on what's happening inside the front office of the Giants right now as they have this super hard schedule next year where it seems like there's kind of no way to win. And the draft picks in 2026 are looking really good, too. So what's your opinion on what the front office is looking like?
It's a great question, Jay, because it's hard to not think about the 2026 draft because you have to keep your job through 2025. But I don't think they're looking at the schedule yet. I think that what they're trying to do, and this is generally what every team does, is how do we win our division? Like that's priority number one. It's what every coach says at the beginning of every season. Win your division, and it guarantees you get to the postseason, and you're going to host a postseason game. So how do you catch the Philadelphia Eagles, which is going to be hard? How do you draw even with the Commanders and the Cowboys? That's basically the thought process. And so I think when you look at the draft, you have to look at what are the problems that the Eagles present. And one, they dominate you on the ground. They dominate you in the trenches. And so when you think about the conversation we had earlier, and if you missed it, go rewind it on the Odyssey app back in the first hour, we were talking about who we would rather draft because of the Drew Allar thing and how poorly he played. It was Abdul Carter, who was amazing on for the Nittany Lions. And so maybe that's now maybe the more appropriate way to go so that you shore up your defense against the division, which has some really good offenses. So, I mean, there's different ways to think about it. Everybody's obsessed with the quarterback, but I'm not convinced it's the right or the smart move for the New York Giants.
Let's go to Ronnie in Manhattan. How you doing today, Ronnie?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again. Evan, I hope you get back to feeling 100%
Thank
soon.
You. Appreciate it.
I promise this call is not about making Luis Ayala a closer this time. So
it's all right.
Well, we'll leave that with the other day. I just got two things. The first is, Tiki, I know a previous caller touched on this. I do want to thank you as well for the words about Pete Alonso and his camp. I do fully in my heart believe that is the sole reason why the narrative changed this morning. As Met fans, I'll tell you right now, Tiki, as Met fans, you got to be careful with this, because now I think that as we proceed through the season and as we start to see holes with the team, I think 888-808-1019 is going to be ringing off the hook for requests for Tiki, because I think you're now the official good luck charm. I think you might have to make a new segment. Like my dad just said, call him Grimace Barber. I mean, we just revolved our lives around the McDonald's mascot for the last season.
That's true.
So you know, you give us an inch, we're going to take a mile.
I do like the Cadillac Club out there. It's my kind of place.
There you go. You are our new good luck charm. And my second point is just in regards to Pete. I'm kind of tired of talking about Pete, honestly. The whole kind of felt the same way towards the end of the one, so to speak, but I feel like we're getting to a finish line here soon. My question is, with Pete, we obviously know that this free agent process for him is not quite going as he envisioned or he wanted, right? He turned down, I think it was 7-1-58 from us, 2023.
Right. Yep.
Do you guys think that, and even with the deal that they offered the Mets this morning, do you think Pete's going to be happy? Oh, and what do you think this impact is going to have on the mental area for him? Because we've seen he's not the best at handling his emotions. He's broken more wood than a lumberjack. Do you think he comes into this season happy with the deal? And does he, when on April 4th, when Citi Field is rocking during intros and they introduce his name, Howie Rose says his name, is he happy when he tips his cap to the crowd? But like, what do you guys think? And that's it. Thanks for taking my
appreciate you, Ronnie.
I think that if this gets wrapped up soon, and this isn't bleeding over into spring training, by the time we get to spring training and by the time we get to opening day, I think it's all forgotten. Yeah. I think it's all...
He's just a Met.
I'm a Met. I'm making a lot of money. Let's go. I think if this bleeded into March... And we talked about that the other day because that's my gut. My gut has always been this is going to take a while. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully Tiki's words yesterday really did spark a change in right. Boris and Alonso. But if this thing gets done now in the middle of January, I think by the time we get to spring training and then get closer to opening day, you move on from it. Yeah, you wanted more in the contract, but it's old news. And look, if he's giving the Mets a chance at something that other teams don't have, then clearly he's not going to be too bitter because he's willing to come back.
Right. Yeah, it's like he's conceding a little bit and opening his arms first, right? Obviously, you want them to hug and to get this thing done and get it over with and whatever. You're going to be a Met for the next few years and hopefully for the rest of your career. But somebody had to move, right? One of them had to make the first step forward. And it seems to be Pete Alonso, at least according to these reports, allegedly. So I hope it gets done. I don't think it's going to affect him emotionally. I think he just wants to get this thing over with. I think he knows he misstepped here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And nothing's going to change. So waiting it out doesn't do anything.
Right. He misstepped by changing agents when he did, getting this loud demand, or at least put out there, this big demand that he has that nobody sniffed at. And he doesn't want to wait. And I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to wait either.
Yeah. Sean was telling me before he really misses this guy. So I figured let's go to him. Ozzie in Woodridge. Ozzie, Sean was telling me how much he looks forward to your calls. So how you doing?
And I look forward to
the banter I have with him. The only problem is he says what he needs to say after I get hung up on. So he's a big tough guy after the phone clicks.
Well, that's Evan. You know, Evan's the one that hangs up on you.
I know, but that's when Sean chirps. So, I mean, there's like, and why didn't Evan or Lugie call Sean out in the opening of the show? Sean was puffing his chest about the Rangers doing good this past week. Make the bet now.
Bitch, New York Ranger fan. Yeah, why don't you make the bet now, Sean, since you're cocky about the Rangers? And yeah, that, of course, is back. The bet of will they go further than the Knicks, and the loser has to dress up as the other sports trophy. So do you now accept the bet, Sean?
If the bet is simply Rangers make the playoffs, they're making the playoffs. I don't have confidence they're passing the Knicks yet, and I say with the utmost respect to what the Knicks are doing and what the Eastern Conference is in the NBA.
Wow, so you still have no confidence. You're still a fraud, basically.
Well, the Rangers, you could mark this down on your little Excel spreadsheet. The New York Rangers, after last night, are going to the postseason.
Mm. Wow. That's the kind of confidence that seems like you're ready to make the bet.
Oh, we're getting there.
Maybe a week away.
You know what? Here, I'll tell you this, Oz. I'll satisfy you. I'll satisfy Ev since he's in isolation. Let me tell you this. The Rangers are about to go on a four-game West Coast swing. If they get points in three of those four games, I will come in here with the L on, and I will shake Tommy's hand, and the bet is on.
Oh. Just don't do like the Devils did on their West Coast swing.
Well, then the bet's off.
Exactly.
Jeez. All right. So now we got to sit here watching Ranger hockey, hoping they win so Sean takes a bet he should have made 6 months ago. Okay.
Yeah, we do have to sit here watching Ranger hockey. Yes.
Yes. All right, go ahead, Ozzy.
What else, Oz?
A bit of a cop-out, but I actually called in to thank Tiki.
Thank you, Ozzy. I appreciate your thank
you. Now, you're welcome. It's not about the Mets, because I'm not touching that money until he's signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm thanking you because a week ago today, you latest the verbal smackdown on Butterbean Marash.
He's fat!
And ever since then, he's been neutered all week. And it's the best listen of radio all week that I've had in a while.
That's an interesting observation, Ozzy. Mm. Thank you for the call. So you're saying, Tommy, you're a good independent juror on this. Has Sean been more neutered this week because of the verbal beatdown Tiki put on him late last week?
1,000%.
Really?
Yeah,
can,
absolutely.
Can I ask what verbal beatdown Tiki put on me and how I've been neutered? Right. I don't remember either of these things.
Well, the verbal beatdown was you guys had a great argument. It was very compelling about drafting a quarterback. And Tiki just, he took you apart. I remember saying, like, you got to stop the fight. Yeah. At some point, it goes from entertaining to, I feel bad. Like, I feel bad how much he's dismantling
Go
you.
Go get your shine box, basically, is what he told you.
And what Ozzy is claiming, and I did not notice this until Ozzy brought it up, is that this week, the following week, you have been kind of a neutered Morash because of the way Tiki took you apart. Mm.
Really?
I don't think that's the case. I'm going to defend you for a second, Sean.
Thanks, D.
I think what it is that Evan's got COVID, and Evan is at home, and it's hard for Sean to interject when Evan and I are talking because he can't see.
No, but that doesn't include Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He was neutered for the first three days of the week.
No. The last time you were here, Evan, you and I nearly came to blows over David Wright and Don Mattingly and then Dennis Potvin.
Yes. So he certainly wasn't neutered Wednesday.
Did that sound neutered to you?
I think what Ozzy was referencing was Giant takes. More on the Giant topic, I think Sean has been put in his place, so that's what Ozzy was referencing.
Yeah, but we got all the Giants out. Like, what else do we want to say?
No, I think Sean has bent his knee for Tiki Barber, and I appreciate that. Okay. I respect that. Right. He beat you down so badly last week that you've lost your confidence, and that's...
Yeah.
I think at some point you'll get it back. You'll fight with Tiki again. You'll lose again, but you'll gain it again.
You and Ozzy could put on the headsets and play Call of Duty and come up with whatever schemes you want to come up with. The truth is, if I disagree with something Tiki says like I did last Friday, I will argue with him. I haven't necessarily disagreed with a lot of what Tiki's had the mindset with the Giants.
That's because he knows I'm right.
That's right. Play Call of Duty. Who does that?
He just gave Evan an idea. He's texting Ozzy as we speak. Hey, want to play Call of Duty?
Maybe. I may end up doing that. We'll get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Do you guys remember, I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember that during the World Series, Mookie Betts was trying to catch a ball down the right field line?
Yes.
And these Yankee fans tried to, like, you know, rip his arm off.
I do.
And rip a baseball away from him. Yeah, we remember that, right? That was during...
How could we forget it? They were borderline heroes.
Right. I'll never forget where I was because we did the show from Yankee Stadium. That was before game four of the World Series. And I gave my ticket to Chris Big Mac McMonagle. And he was sitting with Sean and BT and BT's son. And I thought it'd be easy. I'll just mosey around Yankee Stadium. And I couldn't find a place to stand. So I was actually in the Great Hall at Yankee Stadium. That's what they call it, right, Sean? The Great Hall?
Yes.
I was in the Great Hall with my scorebook, geeking out, and I could not believe what I saw. And then, of course, I'm listening to Susan and John because that's the audio they play in the Great Hall. So I'm listening to Susan just destroy these two guys for what they did to Mookie Betts' arm. And I should have been mad, but I was laughing. I thought it was like the funniest thing ever because I couldn't believe what I was watching. So those two guys who have names, should I say their names, by the way, or do we not care?
No, I think we can.
We got Austin Capobianco and John Henson. Now, if you remember at the time, they were ejected from the game and they were banned from game five. There is now a report from the New York Post that they are going to be banned indefinitely from attending any MLB games.
Anywhere?
Anywhere. What do you think of that, Teak? Is that too harsh?
I mean, maybe, but I understand when you... I don't want to call it assault because it really wasn't, but technically it was. You assault a player, you probably should be banned. But that seems harsh. Indefinitely? That means forever?
So, yeah. I mean, I guess indefinitely it could change. You know, maybe in a year they have a chance for an appeal to change the ruling. But the other thing I thought that was interesting, and I didn't know this at the time, I was under the impression, I don't know if you guys were too, that they were season ticket holders to the New York Yankees. Mm. Apparently, both were using the seats of a season ticket holder who'd owned the seat since 1990 and was not in attendance. So it wasn't their tickets. They were in-season ticket holder seats. God. And the season ticket holder is said to support the decision to prohibit the two fans from attending any more games.
Wow.
Oh, boy. I have a feeling he was forced into that decision. But okay.
You think so?
I think so. By the way, we didn't know this caveat, right? Because wasn't this part of it that we thought they were real season ticket holders?
That's what they may have said it, but I'm telling you right now, it's been a few months. My thought was there was a story that they were season ticket holders, but obviously that wasn't the case. They were just sitting in the seats of a season ticket holder.
I feel bad for these guys, man.
Yeah. In a letter from MLB official attained by the New York Post, the league wrote to the banned fans, quote, "Your conduct posed a serious risk to the health and safety of the player and went far over the line of acceptable fan behavior. Based on your conduct, Major League Baseball is banning you indefinitely from all MLB stadiums, offices, and other facilities." Mm. The letter also stated that if they are discovered at any MLB property or event, they will be removed from the premises and subject to arrest for trespass.
Oh, wow.
This is nonsense.
Wow.
This is nonsense, Evan.
I mean, it's deterrent. It's so that no one ever does it again.
All right.
That's why you do this.
So do you think that we're putting this out there publicly, but behind the scenes it's like, look, guys, just don't go sit front row. We're not going to really do this to you.
No, I think it's a deterrent. They're trying to deter anyone from ever doing this again.
Right, but if you're these two guys and you don't want to get arrested, but you can go in disguise and no one's going to notice. Throw on a little mustache or whatever.
But you're not
Valentine.
You're not risking it knowing you could be arrested.
I agree with that. It's not worth the risk.
That's the throw-in. The throw-in isn't just, oh, you're banned, because you're right. Okay, fine, I'll dress up, I'll try to get in.
Right.
That line of, and if we catch you, you're subject to arrest. No one's taking that risk, including those two
guys.
Right,
but if these two guys show up in, I don't know, like Kansas City, do you really think that, I don't know. I understand a Yankee game, a Met game, maybe Boston, something like that. But if they go to some whatever, Pittsburgh or something like that, you think they're really going to arrest these guys?
I don't know. I think with the technology we have now, probably. Probably. Here's what kind of changed my view on this. Can I tell you how I've evolved?
Sure.
I don't know if you know this, Sean, because you sound very upset. We'll give you the floor to defend that.
Sure.
I'm a season ticket holder, okay? I got season tickets to the New York Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, the New York Mets, and the New York Jets. And there are days in which I sell my tickets. There are days in which I give my tickets away. There are days in which I go. If someone is in my seat, the seat I pay for, and they act like an absolute ass like this, I'll be very upset. Because you are, at the end of the day, representing me.
Yep.
So If someone was in my seat at a Met playoff game, and look, my seats are very different. You can't interfere in the game action with where I sit.
Yeah.
So I know it's not the same apples to apples comparison. But if you could, I would not be happy. So I understand the ticket guy at Yankee Stadium saying, yeah, ban those asses.
Look, I wouldn't be happy either. And I'm not saying that these guys weren't wrong. The only thing I would caveat or push back on you with is, look, you're selling tickets that you committed to buying season with. You're approaching that like a business partnership for you, which that is not technically the spirit of having season tickets. So I kind of wouldn't feel bad for the season ticket holder in a way. Like, yeah, that kind of is a risk-reward thing.
Right.
However, while I don't think these guys should have ever grabbed Mookie Betts' arm, it was a World Series. They're trying to create some kind of home field advantage. They made
Timeout.
They made a horrible mistake. And if we banned everybody, they didn't murder the guy. If we banned everybody from anything they've ever made a mistake on in life, you know, yelling at a waiter on your bad day, you're never allowed to go back and eat at a restaurant again. Like, I get that there needs to be deterrence, but I mean, these guys clearly love the game of baseball enough. You're going to ban them indefinitely because all they were trying to do was be a 12th man on the field or a 10th man on the field.
I think the only reason they get this ban handed down like this is because they could have hurt Mookie.
They could have, yes.
Which is what if they had, can you imagine?
Oh,
I agree.
Right? There'd be charges. Brought against them.
And there's no doubt about it. I would also just say this. There's a lot of things that happen at baseball games that probably we don't read about and don't have this. Baseball basically champions this Zach Hample who flies around to all these stadiums to catch every ball and write books about it, and yet he's seen knocking over kids to get foul balls. But yet we welcome him back in any ball.
Yeah, but knocking a kid over is not... Mookie Betts is not protected. No, come on, Sean. Now you're going too far.
Hurt a freaking kid getting a foul ball for the 50th
I understand that, but if you go to when they used to be Toys R Us, you have parents, or you go on Black Friday, they're trampling over kids. You can't grab a player's arm. Should they be banned from every stadium indefinitely? By the way, it'll get lifted at some point. No, but you can't touch a player because then you could have the malice in the palace again. And that's the last thing baseball or any sport needs.
It's funny. Not too long ago, right here on this show, about 15 minutes ago, we heard a reference to how last week Sean and Tiki had an argument. And Tiki was so dominant in that argument that he neutered Sean Morash. Remember what that was just referenced? Mm-hmm. No offense, Tiki. There's someone else who neutered Sean Morash in an argument. And it was about this subject.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't on air. It was a private neutering. And that was Susan Waldman.
Yeah, man.
Because Susan Waldman heard Sean Morash defending these guys at the World Series. And Susan walked into the booth where we were broadcasting, the Spanish Yankee booth, and she neutered the crap out of Sean Morash.
It was a tough scene for me. That was a tail between the legs moment, for sure.
So as you're having this discussion about these fans, is there any part of you that hears Susan in your head, just the small part?
Yes. In fact, I'm banking that Susan is not listening to us at 4:52, which is why I'm adamantly pushing this now. Because I can't face her again in April with this date.
I do think...
What did she say? What did she say to you?
She said, are you bleeping kidding me? They could have killed Mookie Betts. So far that she went to one of our bosses after and said, are you aware of what this stooge is saying on Afternoon Drive about these fans?
Wow.
She complained about his opinion.
It was great.
I do think these guys have an opportunity to take advantage of their fame. And I'm sure Barstool will do it, and that's just hire them. And they're the guys who got thrown out of Yankee Stadium, and they could break down Yankee games in front of a TV while drinking and having a good time.
They could become martyrs, for sure, 100%.
They can. They can turn it into a benefit. Now, the negative thing to that is you could take advantage of it, and I think it could work. It will not ingratiate you to Major League Baseball. You almost have to kiss the ring and pray to come back. Look, if I was ever banned from going to baseball games, it would destroy me. Like, you know how much I love it. Like, I don't know what the hell I would do.
Would you rather a tree fall and hit you or be banned from baseball?
Stop. How about that? A little breaking news around those two numbskulls, if you will.
Right. Breaking news that we'll forget by the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, completely.
We won't care anymore.
Completely. That's why when I saw it, we had to get to it now. Because by the time Monday comes, we'll all forget about it. Now, real quick, for everyone out there interested in Aaron Glenn as the next head coach of the New York Jets, I admit I am very easily moved during this hiring process Because a lot of these candidates, you know, we're kind of learning about for the first time. So in Aaron Glenn's case, I know about him as a player. He was a hell of a New York Jet when he was here in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s. And he's obviously done a great job as defensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. But if you go back and you watch some old Hard Knocks, you get to hear from Aaron Glenn. I want to play this little bit of Aaron Glenn for you. And if you're a Jet fan who's not sure, maybe you're not familiar, I warn you. I'm going to warn you going in. You may run through a wall after listening to this. You may be fully in on Aaron Glenn as a head coach. And Tiki, I want you to listen. And I want you to tell me as a player what this kind of coach would do for you. So ladies and gentlemen, there are some bleeps. Great job by editing by Tommy Lugauer. We present to you the next head coach of the New York Jets, Aaron Glenn.
The only person in Detroit unhappy with Jared Goff's performance these days is defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn.
Here's what I want to understand about practice yesterday. But we cannot let our offense go out there and complete 16 of 18 passes. That is bullshit for that to happen. I don't give a damn what nobody else thinks. How you used to practice, we're not going to let them practice like that. If you're not with that, you get the out. I'm just telling you. Because we're not practicing like that. Because we played give-up football yesterday. And right now, our offense is laughing because they think that they're so far ahead of us that we can't catch up. And that burns me up, I'm just telling you. It does. And that's how we operate. Because we think we cool and we think it's okay. We think it's okay. And that's what the wrong with us right now. We think it's okay. And just look at this practice. And what I tell you, what do offenses try to do if they get one guy moved? What are they trying to create? They trying to create everybody's moving, and look what they created on us. They did exactly what they wanted to do. They played us like puppets. No, they did. Football is hard enough as it is. We make it harder. That makes sense. So I don't want us just catching the ball. Of all camp, we're getting up 72%. That's what we're doing. If they throw it 10 times, they catch it 7. That's bull. And we allow them to think it's okay. That's not football. That's not secondary play or linebacker play. This is losing football. It's losing football.
Oh, my God. And I tell you what, before you tell me your opinion on this, Deke, I tell you what I think really gets me all hot and bothered about this. I can't imagine Robert Saleh saying that. I can't imagine Todd Bowles saying that. And with all due respect to Saleh and Bowles, and by the way, I did leave Adam Gase out. Like, I ignore his existence as head coach of the New York Jets. Like, it's almost fart in the wind, didn't happen. Saleh and Bowles, I respect. I respected the hires,
right,
and I respected the possibilities that they would be good head coaches. And a credit to Todd Bowles, he's done a fine job in Tampa. This organization needs that.
Hmm.
Your thoughts, Dick?
Well, I mean, Aaron Glenn, because he's a former player, like, he knows what success looks like, and he knows why you're failing. And so I think Robert Saleh couldn't necessarily give that kind of lambasting of a team because it wouldn't come from experience.
Right.
Right. Adam Gase certainly couldn't have.
Well, that's why we ignore him. He doesn't exist.
But I think Aaron Glenn, he takes on the personality in some ways of his head coach because Dan Campbell is the same way. It's weird. Like, when I think about if I was ever a coach, would I be like that? Or would I be more introspective and contemplative? And even though I am that way, meaning contemplative most times, right, I think I'd be like that if I was
Would you?
Glenn. Of course.
Oh my God.
Because when you do something obviously wrong and you know that you're doing it wrong and you're watching that, it pisses you off. So I think he's pissed. And so he's just trying to communicate to it. And the crazy thing is that's against his own team. That's not even against an opponent that matters.
Right.
So I love that interaction.
And
it
look,
should be more like that. And I don't know if it is always like that.
And I think that the Jets need that. You know, sometimes when you're hiring a new coach or a new manager in baseball, we always kind of go towards we need the opposite. So if you had this crazy, high energy, I'm throwing tables manager, then the next manager needs to be calmer, needs to be, he doesn't go crazy, doesn't argue. I think in the NFL's case with the Jets specifically, I look at their last few head coaches, and it's not that Robert Saleh and Todd Bowles were soft. It's not that they were soft, but that the Jets lacked kind of an ass kicking. Mm. And it almost feels like the Jets need an ass kicking. Their roster is going to be similar next year. It's not like they're going to blow it all up and everything's going to be different. I think a lot of the pieces are going to be the same. And I do believe that the identity of the New York Jets next year, if they're going to be successful, is going to be their defense. And they're going to need an ass kicking. And so I look at Aaron Glenn as a nice hire. I still put him third on my list. I'm not changing my power rankings. My Evan power rankings are Mike Vrabel number one, Brian Flores number two, Aaron Glenn number three. And then I did have Pete Carroll in the older one-term president role, but it doesn't seem like the Jets are interested in that, and who knows if that's even a thing. But I like hearing this. I like the former player thing, which we talked about a few weeks ago, Teek. You brought it up, and I like that kind of fire because I think this franchise needs an ass-whooping, and it really feels like Aaron Glenn may be able to supply that.
Yeah, I mean, he could, but I think this team also needs an offensive identity or consistency throughout their offense. And they have so many questions right now, and they're throwing as much of it against the wall as they can and seeing what sticks. But I think a lot of these interviews that they're doing, it's about finding a consensus perception about who the Jets actually are.
Right.
Like, how does everybody else see you? And I think that's sometimes one of the more important things that you're going to do.
Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 list coming up in just a few minutes. We'll get back to your calls at 888-808-1019.